1 John chapter 3. We're going to continue to go through this book. We'll probably begin chapter 4 next week, and then the kids' Christmas play happens the following week, and probably right before Christmas we'll take a break from it as well and look at one of the passages from Christmas, and then we'll finish up at the beginning of the new year. We'll finish 1 John. And I think it'll be good timing as we go into the new year. We'll be challenged, as we continually are throughout 1 John, that we're to be people of love. To love God, and ultimately one of the best ways that we expressed our love for God is by loving one another. And so again today, you'll see a recurring theme. If you read through 1 John, you'll keep saying, you may question, like, why does he keep saying love one another? Why does he keep saying love one another? It's like he just wants to make a point that we're supposed to love one another. And if you're asking yourself that question, the answer would be is that he's trying to make the point that we're to love one another. And so I think it'll be a good way to start the new year, a fresh challenge for us, that we should be people who are marked by love. And not only that, but we're going to see today that we're people who should be marked by obedience and by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And so if you have your Bible, I invite you to stand with me out of reverence for God's Word. As we read from 1 John chapter 3, we're going to start at verse 18 and read through the end of the chapter. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. Those who obey His commands live in Him, and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for just this time to be together. And we thank You for Your Word, which speaks truth into our lives. Lord, help us to remember that this is not just an ancient document that men wrote long ago, but God, this is Your words breathed out by Your Holy Spirit to men. Lord, as You inspired them and carried along their pens to write this, Lord, and it, because it is from You, Lord, it is timeless. And it is absolute truth, and we need to hear it. And not just hear it, God, but we need to understand it and apply it to our lives. And so, God, I pray that through Your Spirit, You would do the miracle of communication. Lord, that what comes out of my mouth, Lord, I pray that they would not just hear words from Pastor John, but God, that they would hear words from You that are inspired by You, Lord, and that it would change their lives. And Lord, I pray that it would change my life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. 1 John chapter 3. We're going to go through this. And remember, as John writes this, one of the reasons that John writes is he wants people, he wants believers to be confident or to be sure of their salvation. You know, as we would say, it would be the assurance of our salvation. And so I entitled the sermon today, Assurance Through Obedience and Through the Spirit. And this assurance that we're talking about is not to be sure of ourselves. It's not to be sure of things that we've done. It's to be sure and assured of our salvation. And ultimately, John will state that's one of the reasons that he writes. And sometimes when you read through 1 John, I've mentioned this before, sometimes you read through 1 John and you begin to question your salvation, because he's saying, if you belong to God, if you're a child of God, if this is how you'll know. And you start looking at those things and saying, well, if I could keep on sinning, then does that mean I'm not saved? And you begin to go back and forth. But ultimately, John doesn't write to just make us live in constant doubt of our salvation. He writes this letter so that we would see things and we could see evidence of our salvation and be confident in our salvation. And so we're going to see some of those things again today. As I've kind of called them throughout this, they're birthmarks of believers. And so we're going to see, we see a couple more that take place in this section of 1 John. So the first thing that we're going to see, or that we're going to talk about, is obedience to God leads to assurance before God. Obedience to God leads to assurance before God. He says, "Dear children," we read this verse last week, "but dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth." And so he's saying is, this is a birthmark. This is one of those things that gives you confidence in your salvation. "And how we set our hearts at rest in His presence whenever our hearts condemn us." And so he goes back to, and he jumps ahead. He talks about how we obey. How we don't just love in word, or with our tongues, with our speech, but that we love in deed and we love and in truth. So we love with our actions. And he jumps down and he says, "Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything that He asks, because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him." And so he's pointing us to this, to obedience to His commands. So I kind of wrote some things here that are marks of confident believers. Things that when we obey God, it leads to assurance before God. How does this happen? Well, first, confident believers are people of action. They do things. When you are obeying God, if you've ever done experiencing God, ultimately what He points to, Blackaby and Claude King, what they point to is that if you want to experience God, obey God. And if you've ever had to jump out in faith and obey God, I would guess that you could give testimony that in that act of obedience that you experience God's presence, His love, His provisions, and the fact that He was there. And so confident believers are people of action. They're people who obey God's word. When you are continually obeying God's word, when you live a lifestyle of obedience to God, what the Bible and what John is pointing us to, and ultimately what God points us to, is that leads you to be confident of your salvation. Because if you're constantly obeying God, then you're constantly experiencing God's power and His provisions and His protection and everything that God has in store for your life. And why would you not be sure? If you're continually experiencing God and His blessings in your life through your obedience, then why would you begin to question whether or not you're saved? And here's the thing, and the other thing is, why would you continue to obey God if you weren't saved, if you didn't believe in Him, if you didn't trust in Him? And so that you're going to see that kind of these two things go hand in hand. Second thing that we see is confident believers are not fooled by their heart. He goes on and he says, "This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence whenever our heart condemns us." He says, here's the thing, is even you can be confident in your salvation, you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you gave your life to Christ, that you put your full trust in Him, and that you are trying your best to follow Him and to keep His commandments. But even the best believers, even the most confident believers at time, probably, and if you've ever gone through this, you know this, that at times, Sabre gave testimony to it last week. She said, "Sometimes my mind was telling me I was saved. Sometimes my heart was telling me I was saved. But they never seemed to line up." Sometimes our hearts fool us. Sometimes our hearts will speak, you know, they'll speak like, "Are you sure you're saved?" Sometimes, the thoughts pop into our head. You know, "How do you know you're saved? Are you sure you're saved?" And he goes on and he says, I think what he's saying is confident believers don't just give way to our emotions and our feelings. That there is truth in God's word that we cling to, that we know. And ultimately what he goes on and he says, whenever our heart condemns us, "For God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything." Confident believers understand God's nature and His promises. They understand who God is, that God knows everything. And so we can know, it's, you know, when our hearts try to you know, and as it says here, to condemn us, or to whenever a doubt creeps in our minds, that we can know, you know what, yeah, I messed up. I sinned, and it could lead me to say, man, am I really saved? If I was stupid enough to do that, am I really saved? If I was deceived so quickly, am I truly saved? And here's the thing, he says, look, God knows everything. He knows our hearts, and He's greater than our hearts. And so understand who God is. Understand what God knows about you. And understand God's promises, because the Bible says that for those who are in Christ, that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It goes on in Romans 8 and it says, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn us? And what he's saying is, no one can if you've put your faith in Christ. And so, this obedience to God leads to assurance before God. And confident believers, they're people who are obeying God, and even when they fail to obey God, when God leads them to do something they fail to, and their heart says, man, John, you should have done that. Why didn't you obey me there? And your heart begins to say, well, shoot, if I'm not obedient to God, then am I really saved? But ultimately, understanding God, that God knows everything, He knows my failures, and that I can receive forgiveness for those failures, for that sin, and I'm still acceptable in His sight. I'm still a child of God. Confident believers understand God's nature and His promises. So obedience to God leads to assurance before God. The second thing is obedience to God leads to a confident prayer life with God. He goes on, he says, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And this confidence before God, he's going to go in and he's going to say what that confidence is it's in our prayer lives. He says, and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. He says this obedience to God leads to this confidence in our prayer lives. And so sometimes when we are praying, we have you ever prayed unconfident prayers? Have you ever gone and, you know, Hebrews tells us that we can boldly go before the throne of grace. And we think, God, I don't want to bother you with this. It seems so petty. I don't even know if you really want to, if you even care about it, if you even want to do anything about it. But there's no hurt in asking. You know, I don't think that's a very confident prayer. Or sometimes we go and we say, God, I really want you to do this. But in your mind, you're thinking, he's not going to do that. I want us to see how obedience to God leads to a confident prayer life. Because most of us would think, man, I wish I could have confidence that whenever I went to God, he would give me what I ask for. And understand that when he starts talking about this, what we're going to see is, it's not like you say, man, I've been obedient to God. I think it's time to ask for that big raise at work. I've been confident. I've been obedient to God. I think it's time to ask for that lottery ticket, that winning lottery ticket. Well, that's not what he's going to talk about at all. And so, obedience to God leads to a confident prayer life with God. Believers who continually obey God and strive to do the right thing in order to please Him, in order to please God, have confidence before God in prayer. This is what he says. Let's see, and receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. So believers who are obeying God, constantly trying to please God by doing the right thing, what we're going to see is God is going to hear their prayers and give them what they ask for. Believers who continually seek to do God's will have confidence that they will receive from God what they have asked for. So think about this. If in your mind you are constantly trying to align yourself to God's will and you're saying, God, what is your will? And I'm going to obey it in my life. And so you say, okay, God, I understand this is what you want me to do. So you go and you obey it. And then you go and you say, God, what do you want from me? What is your plan? How can I obey you today? And then he said, and then he leads you to do something. Through his Spirit, he leads you to do something. You say, okay, I'm going to go do it. So if you're constantly living in, God, what is your will? And I want to obey that will in my life. Then how does your prayer life begin to look? It begins to look like, God, what is your will? And I'm going to obey that. So what do you begin to ask God for? You begin to pray God's will. And this is I think, where we have to be careful. You know, we live in a day and age where people will say, if you just ask God for whatever you want, and he'll give it to you. If you're a believer and you pray and you ask without doubting, then he's going to give it to you. Well, James says if you ask for wisdom without doubting, he'll give it to you. And so I think God is graciously will give you his wisdom. But here, I think in other passages where Jesus talks about the same thing, What he points us to is that when we align ourselves with God's will, and we are so in tune with God that what we are praying for is God's will, is God happy to do his will? Absolutely. This means yes. This means no. Yeah, when you ask for God's will, when you ask for things that align with God's will, is God pleased to do his will?
Yeah.
Every single time. And so it is not that we begin to say, okay, God, here's my will. I want you to do my will. No, when you're continually obedient to God and you're continually trying to align yourself with God's will, ultimately what you want is God's will to be done. And so what you pray for is what? God's will to be done in your life and through you. And so what do? You continue to obey God. And what are you asking for of God? For His will to be done in your life and through you. And so when God says, I'm going to give you what you ask for, it's because you're constantly, when you're obeying God and He sees it, man, it's God, this child wants to do my will. And he's continually obedient to whatever I ask him to do. So, man, when he starts seeing what I want done, and he's trusting the Spirit's leadership in his life, whenever he asks for it, what am I going to do? I'm going to give it to him because he wants my will to be done too.
Amen.
And so it's not a, God, give me a new raise. God, give me a new car. God, it is the prayer life that becomes a confident prayer life is when you know. Here's how you go and confidently ask God for things. If you know that what you're asking for aligns with God's will, you know He's going to answer it, would that lead you to be confident to ask for it? Absolutely.
Right.
And so it obedience to God leads us to a confident prayer life with God. And I don't know anyone who would say, man, my prayer life is right where it should be. Most people, and myself included, would say, man, I wish my prayer life was stronger. If I could improve one aspect of my spiritual life, it would be my prayer life. It's lacking. Well, maybe part of this starts with obedience. And I'm not saying, but understand obedience to God also means you got to spend time in prayer so you know what He wants. You got to spend time in His Word so you know what He wants. But ultimately, this obedience leads us to confident prayer life with God. Obedience to God is expressed through faith and it's done in love. It's the third thing there. Obedience to God is expressed through faith and it's done in love. And this is His command, it says in verse 23. And this is His commands, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. Jesus to His disciples, John being one of them, a couple of different times He says, this is how they'll know that you're my disciples. If you have love for one another, this is how you'll know that. This is how they'll know that you love me, if you keep my commandments. And so understand that doing God's will, obeying God, and loving one another are ultimately, I think they're intertwined. When you look at, you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four, kind of this vertical aspect, this relationship with God. The next six are the horizontal aspect of our lives, how we interact with one another, how we treat one another. Jesus summed up the law and He said, "It's to sum up the law is this. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second, you love your neighbor as yourself." He says that's how you sum up, all of the law summed up in those two commands. And so it starts with the vertical. And the vertical leads to right relationships with those around us. And I think much of what we do in obedience to God, there are some things. We spend time in His Word. We spend time in prayer. We tithe to God. We do things that help us to maintain a right relationship with God. But a lot of our obedience takes place by just loving one another. And if we get this all right and we miss this, and you think that's okay, then you haven't read the prophets in the Old Testament who said, you bring your offerings and your sacrifices, and He said, they're basically an abomination to me because you treat others around you so poorly. You don't do justice. You don't show mercy. You're not loving one another. And so our obedience to God ultimately is expressed through faith. Obedience comes from an unshakable trust in Christ and Jesus. If you have confidence in who Jesus is, and it says here that you are to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. To believe in the name of Jesus, the name of a person at that time, was the whole nature of the person. It was everything about that person. And so when it says that first off, you believe in the name of the Son, of His Son, Jesus Christ, that means you believe in the total personhood of who Jesus was. The fact that He was God's Son who came from heaven to earth, who came born of a Virgin Mary, who lived a perfect life, never sinned, not once, who died a death in our place upon the cross, who was raised back to life, who ascended to God the Father, who now sits there, and one day He's coming back. And you could look in all of the depth of who Jesus is, and you say, I'm attaching myself to that.
Amen.
I believe everything about who Jesus is, and I'm attaching myself to that.
Yep.
And nothing is going to separate us from that. And so when you believe, it's not just a belief, because again, Jesus pointed out that belief in and of itself is not enough. He said even the demons believe, even Satan believes, but they're not saved. So, it's not just belief. The belief here is, it's a complete trust. It's attaching yourself fully to who Jesus is and all that He did, putting your full trust in Christ for your salvation, for your forgiveness of sins, for your redemption, for your justification, for your right standing before God. It's putting all of that and saying, I'm putting it all in Christ. I'm attaching myself to Him, fully trusting in Him. And so it says, that's the first command. And this is how obedience now plays out, is obedience becomes an act of faith. Because what you're saying is, I trust who Christ is. I believe that He's God's Son. I believe that He has a plan for my life. I believe that He has a will for my life, that He has things that He wants me to do for Him. And so every act of obedience then becomes an act of faith, because what you're saying is, because I believe in Jesus and I've attached myself to Him and I want to please Him, then I'm going to do this. Why? Because I have a faith. I trust in Him. I believe in Him. And so it becomes an expression of faith. Obedience is an expression of faith. And obedience in general, again, I kind of said this, but it looks a lot like acts of love shown to other people. It's when we show mercy to people. It's when we give them things, when we experience the truth, as John said and as Jesus said, that it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Amen.
When we give from God of our heart and not just out of obligation. When we serve God, not because we have a position, but because we truly love people and want to serve them. And so, John again, he says, and this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. And I believe that's kind of John's way of saying, love God, love others. Attach yourself fully to Him. Because you're not going to fully attach yourself and trust in Christ if you don't love Him and know that He loves you. Because here's the thing, when you are in love with your spouse, that leads to a different relationship and a different trust than it does with your relationship with other people around you, right? I would imagine that most of you, because of the love, the reciprocal love that your spouse and you have for one another, they'd say, I trust them more than I trust other people. I would think so. Maybe that's not the case, but I would think generally that tends to be true. You trust your spouse with your life more than you trust anyone else. All right?
Right.
Yeah, right, thanks. We got one person. No, nobody, everyone else is, I don't know, there may be some marriage counseling later, but so I think that happens. And so when you, because you love Christ and because you know that Christ loves you, you trust Him. And it leads you to obedience and ultimately to showing love to others around us. Finally, and here's another birthmark of believers. This is what He says in verse 24. Those who obey His commands live in Him or abide in Him, and He, being Jesus, in them. So those who obey His commands dwell with Jesus, in Jesus. They remain in Him, and then Jesus remains in them. And this is how we know that He, Jesus, lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. The presence, the last thing here, the presence of the Spirit in our lives leads to assurance before God. He gives us Himself in the form of His Holy Spirit so that we would have confidence that God dwells in us and with us and that we are truly saved. In other parts of Scripture, it points to the fact that the Spirit it's a seal of our salvation. And in other parts, it's a deposit that's been made into us, ultimately to be redeemed when we go and when we're glorified and we go to be with Christ in heaven. So this unshakable trust, this love for one another, this ultimately obedience to God, you know, and this confidence before God in prayer, ultimately it's all made possible by the fellowship that we have. It is the Holy Spirit that makes this fellowship with God possible. It's the Holy Spirit that is leading you, then guiding you into obedience. It's that Holy Spirit that says, hey man, you should ask God for this because it's His will. It's the Holy Spirit that ties all of this together. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the assurance that we are saved. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us into truth. It's the Holy Spirit that teaches us about Christ. It's the Holy Spirit who illumines our hearts, who shows us the true meaning of Scripture. And apart from the Spirit, none of this other stuff is possible. Because our flesh, our old self, and our new self, the nature of the Spirit, it's not like they intertwine with one another and they work together. They're in direct odds with each other. And so if our flesh, our old self, our old nature, our sinful nature is at odds with the Spirit who now dwells in us, then what do we have to do? Day by day, we have to submit to the Spirit. We have to say, Spirit, lead me. Spirit, teach me. Spirit, show me. And it's the Spirit's work in your life. And here's the thing. I think it's one of the hardest things for believers to grasp is, how does the Holy Spirit work? How does He teach me? How does He speak to me? And I don't know of a good way to explain it. Most people would say, well, it's that still small voice. A lot of times it is. A lot of the times we're not quiet enough. We don't calm ourselves before God and spend time with God to hear it. Much of the time, and there's been times in my life where it has not been still or small at all, but it has been loud and clear. And I appreciate those times, although they're often painful. Usually if God has to yell, it's because you're a fool. At least that's been the experience in my life. But when we learn to yield to the Spirit and we learn to hear the Spirit and be sensitive to the Spirit's voice, I don't know that anyone who says, man, I know the Spirit is constantly with me. I feel Him leading me. I feel Him teaching me. I feel Him tugging on my heart. I feel Him saying, hey, go talk to that person. Hey, pray for this. Hey, go and do this. Well, hey, go over and help your neighbor while they're... If you're constantly in fellowship with the Spirit, I don't know anyone that would say, I don't know if I'm saved. Why? Because the presence of the Spirit in your life gives you confidence. It gives you assurance that beyond the shadow of a doubt, you are a child of God. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit that continually assures us that we are children of God. And so, if John wants us to be sure of our salvation, there's two things, at least in this section of his letter, that he points us to. One, obey God. When you obey God, when you're continually seeking His will and doing His will, it gives you confidence that you are His child, because who else in their right mind would seek to do some of the stuff that God would ask us to do, except for His children who trust Him and who love Him and want to please Him? And so obedience gives us confidence in our salvation, assurance of our salvation. And the presence of the Spirit in our lives gives us assurance that we are truly His children. And so as we close today, I guess if you're here today, and I guess this is how I would frame it. If you're here today and you have If you ever had doubts about your salvation, if you ever wonder, man, am I truly saved? I would say from this section of the letter, John would point you to ask yourselves a couple questions. One, are you obeying God? The absence of obedience to God points us to a problem. There's either a problem with are we saved? We may not be saved. Or the problem could be, I'm just living in disobedience and I need to repent. And the second thing is do you feel the Spirit's presence in your life? And if not, why? What's the problem there? Sometimes it's a sin problem. Actually, I guess all the time it's a sin problem. But it could be a sin problem that has never ever been taken care of by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And if you never put your faith in Jesus Christ, then I would say it's no wonder you've never experienced His Spirit. Because if you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, you can't be sure of anything. Because you don't have His Spirit. By putting your faith in Christ, He gifts you His Spirit. He puts His Spirit in you. One, to give you confidence of your salvation, but also to teach you and to remind you and to show you and direct you. To plead on your behalf when you don't know what to pray for. And so, it could be that you're just not saved. And here's the thing, is the only people that know that in this room are you and God. But you may say, John, I know I'm saved, but I still don't feel His presence. Well, then I would point you to a couple things. Is spend time in His Word, because the Spirit will speak to you through His Word. Spend time actually just with God. Not just praying all the time and asking all the time, but listening. Spend time just when you're driving, just saying, God, is there anything you want me to know? Is there anything that I should be aware of? As you know, is there anyone that I should be kind of in tune with? That I don't know how that's going to work in your life. But the more that you spend time with God, the more if you're genuinely saved, the more His Spirit reveals Himself to you and speaks to you and shows you. And so, obey, spend time with God. And if those aren't the problem, then maybe today you need to be saved. And to genuinely give your life to Christ. Confess your sins, seek His forgiveness, put your trust in all that Jesus did and all that He was. Believe in the full nature of Jesus and the full name of Jesus. That He is God's Son, that He is Jesus the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the only one who can save you of your sins. And He paid the price on the cross for it. And ultimately showed Himself and proved Himself to be God's Son by raising from the dead. And through His resurrection, through His death, you can claim victory over sin and death too. Amen. And so, however God is speaking to you, today, act. Respond. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I just come before You and ask that You would speak to hearts and minds right now. Lord, there are times when I leave and I don't even know what I said. But God, today I'm just going to trust that You are speaking. Lord, and that You're speaking what we need to hear, and that is truth. Lord, if there's anyone here who knows that they're not saved, that they've never confessed Christ, that they've never received His forgiveness, and they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're not a child of God, God, would You give them the courage and the faith to respond to You today? Lord, and receive Your gift of salvation. Lord, if for others, Lord, who are believers here, God, if You're leading us to an act of obedience, or You're leading us to repentance, Lord, or maybe just drawing us back to You because we've strayed, God, I pray that You would work in our hearts and minds and we would respond to You in the right way. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.